verse 7 as we think on the next article of faith, and this is concerning the Christian Sabbath. We're going to start in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and if you don't have a copy of those, they're here on the front pew. If you'd like one, take one. Things that we believe here at the Independence Baptist Church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible states here, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight." The part we notice here in this passage is that it was the first day of the week that the disciples were coming together to break bread. And so, of course, we can say that gives indication that they were taking the Lord's Supper every week, and if they were, there's nothing wrong with that. Although in our society, it's not accepted too well. But still, there's nothing wrong with it. If we took the Lord's Supper every time we came together, that still would not be wrong, as long as we do it to remember what Christ has done. Now, what we ate down here today for lunch was not the Lord's Supper. Right? It was not. That was not wine, and it was not unleavened bread. I didn't notice that bread was real. I like that garlic bread, but I don't think it was unleavened at all, but it was really good. Anyway, let's read the article here, what we believe about the Christian Sabbath. It said, "We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath." And I know that says the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath. We don't want to quibble over words, do we? That's the first day of the week. "And is to be kept sacred to all religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreations, by the devout observance of all the means of grace, both private and public, and by preparation for that rest that remaineth for the people of God." So that's what we believe about the Lord, about the Christian Sabbath. First of all, we want to notice some things here in this. Not only did Paul meet with the church here, and he met the first day of the week, and he preached unto them. That's what ought to happen at a service. But we'll notice that it's the first day of the week. Now, let's talk about this word Sabbath and really what it means. And a lot of people, when they begin to think about the word Sabbath, they all automatically think about Saturday, or that is the seventh day of the week. And I don't have any problem with that, because that's exactly what the Old Testament talks about. If you'll do just look up the word Sabbath in the Bible, though, you'll find that Sabbath, however it is related to the Saturday or the seventh day, the Sabbath day itself is always a day of rest, whatever day of the week it falls on. Now somebody says, "Now wait a minute." Well, I'm talking about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we can go back and as a matter of fact, let me just do this. I hadn't planned on this, but look back in Leviticus 23 just real quick, because here in this chapter is given the seven feasts that the Israelites were to celebrate every year. And we'll find here in this that there is such a thing as a Sabbath day, that is a Saturday, that the Jews celebrated, but there's also another day, other days that are Sabbath days that are not called Sabbaths. And so here in verse 2 of Leviticus 23, "Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." And he starts off, number one, here, 6 days, verse 3. "6 days shall work be done, but the Sabbath, seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest. A holy convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." And so they called it a Sabbath day. Why? Because it was on the seventh day. In these other days, you'll see here some different kinds of words. We're going to take you over to the New Testament and show you what they really were. In verse 4, he says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons." Number 1, here's the feast of the Passover, verse 5. "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." I think everybody knows that. The 14th day of the first month. What day is that on? Well, it's on the 14th day. What day of the week? We're gonna find out. You can't always tell. Because the 14th day of the week is not always on the same day, but it's always the Sabbath day. All right. Then he says, the 15th day of the same month is the Passover day itself was not a Passover day, but the 15th day was. That's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. That is no work to earn a living. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is the holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. That is the first day and the 7th day. That's the same as the Sabbath. Now, just real quick, if I can find this, let's look in the book of Matthew. Let's say, I think that's a good place. Maybe.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 42 states, "Now when the eve was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath." What this passage is talking about is that the Sabbath day was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified on the Passover day itself. Jesus ate the Passover because that Passover day began in the evening of the 14th. Jesus Christ ate that Passover, went out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and was there. The band of men came to Jesus Christ and brought him before the tribunal in that night. He was crucified 9 o'clock the next morning, was on the cross until 3 o'clock at afternoon, and then that was the preparation day. The Passover day was called the preparation day because the Jews were more concerned with the things of the Feast of Unleavened Bread than they were the things of the Passover. They didn't understand about how that Jesus Christ is the Passover. They didn't understand that they needed a sacrifice for their sins. Luke chapter 23 and verse 54 is a companion passage to Mark chapter 15, verse 42. The Bible said, "In that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." This is the time when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he was going to be taken down off of the cross on that 14th day of the first month, which is Passover, because the next day was a special holiday or special high day that the Jews celebrated. The book of John, chapter 19, verse 31, reads this: "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day." Now, that Sabbath day there in John 19, verse 31, is not a Saturday. It is not the weekly Sabbath, but rather it is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which in this case takes place on our Thursday. He said in verse 31, as it continues, the word here is in parentheses, "For that Sabbath day was an high day." That is, it was a special convocation day. The word convocation, Leviticus 23, means assembly day. "Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." And of course, they came to break the legs of Jesus, and they found he was already dead. And so that tells us there that there's more than one Sabbath oftentimes in a week. And as far as the Passover is concerned, in that week they had a special weekly Sabbath on a Saturday, and then Wednesday would be the Passover day. The Thursday was a Sabbath day, and then of course the next day, being the feast of with a wave offering, that was also a holy convocation day or a Sabbath day. And then on Saturday of that week they had another one, and so they had many Sabbaths right there, all in that time. So don't ever think that just because you see the word Sabbath, that means Saturday. It doesn't always mean that, but it always means a special assembly day for the Jews.
But there are other Sabbath days that were celebrated as a Sabbath day because it was a day of rest with no servile work being done in that day, on that day, and it didn't necessarily have to be a Saturday. And the point I'm trying to bring here is that God has set aside several feast days for the Israel to observe. And all those feast days didn't happen on Saturday. Some of them have them other days of the week. But when it happened that a Sabbath day or a day of convocation would fall on a day that was not a Saturday, they would still do no work in it. They would treat it just like it was a holy day, and it was a holy day unto them. That's what they would do. And, of course, those days are in the Old Testament. They're not for us today. But this day of rest that we have is supposed to be a day that's set aside that we might be able to dedicate ourselves to the Lord wholly and completely and do nothing else on that day except do those things that would honor and glorify the Lord. Now, that's what the day is supposed to be all about. If you look that up in the Old Testament, you'll find that the Sabbath day over and over again, God commanded those people they should not work. They should not have their manservant to work. They should not have their maidservant to work. They should not have their oxen to work. They should not have any of that to work. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have that day set aside wholly and completely to the dedicating yourself unto the things of the Lord. The Jews celebrated that day religiously, we could say. They were very, very dedicated to doing just exactly all of those things. Now, they celebrated that day because that was the seventh day, was the day that God rested after He had created all the world. And the Jews were looking back all the time to the creation, they rested. They did their work on the first 6 days, and then they rested the seventh day because that day was a day of rest for God, and God has established that for the Jews to do. And He said, you need to rest one day a week. That, of course, is in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, where it talks there about the Ten Commandments. And He said, there's one day you should not rest, and that's the Sabbath. I mean, you should rest. And that is the Sabbath day. You should give that unto the Lord, and unto the Lord you shall give it. And they did on that day. That was a day totally dedicated and set aside to the things of God. Now, today, we don't celebrate Saturday, except as a not having to go to work day unless we have to. You know, that's kind of the way that works. But what's the difference? Well, today we look back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ instead of looking back to His creation. We look back. That's why here I read here in the book of Acts chapter 20 concerning this church that Paul met with on the first day of the week. And that was the day the Bible said explicitly that they met together in order to break bread. That didn't mean there that they met together just to eat or have a fellowship meal. Rather, they were meeting together there in that place in order to worship and serve the living God. That's what they were doing on that day. Well, so that's why we do that. As we look back to the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we go back and remember everything that He has done for us in His resurrection. Now, this article of faith states that we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath. This is written a long time ago, and I don't want to quibble over words. Somebody says, well, it was the Lord's Day. Where's that? Well, you know, that you can get into a lot of issues there about this and about that. But one thing that we believe is that we need to set aside one day to worship God in. I mean, one day. I'm not talking about one morning. I'm not talking about one afternoon. I'm not talking about one night. We're talking about one day to celebrate and to worship our Almighty God. I think today that the setting aside of one day is falling away in our nation. I believe it started a long, long time ago, and it's continued, and it's just got worse and worse. Of course, I was raised in Arkansas. I don't know how it was up here in Missouri at all. I don't know how it was in any other state. I only know where I was born and raised. And down there in Arkansas, man, when they closed up shop on Saturday afternoon about 2 or 3 o'clock, everything was closed down. I mean, you'd think it's going to close the hospital. They didn't close the hospital, but about everything would shut down. And you couldn't buy anything. And it was unheard of to even buy gasoline on Sunday. You just wouldn't do it. Say, why not? Well, because the guy had his station closed. That's why. I mean, he wasn't even there. And so he wouldn't pump your gas for you. It was kind of a given thing. In Arkansas, they had blue laws. They called them blue laws. And in that day, you wouldn't be able to buy and sell a lot of products. It was even so that at Forest Hills Baptist Church, where I went to church, that there was some doctors, and they would carry their beepers. That was an unheard-of thing. Well, before that, though, they would have to somebody come and get them. If somebody had a call, they had to go to the hospital, or somebody was sick, they would have to go and get them and bring them in, bring the doctor to the person. I remember that there was a druggist there in our church, and he kept his drugstore open to sell drugs. I shouldn't say drugs. I should say prescription medication. One Sunday a month. But I tell you what, he'd keep that open till noon or until early in the morning. When it came time to go to church, he would go to church. And if you wanted medicine, you had to come and get him. And all the drugstores had a note there on the door saying which drugstore was open. You say, well, that's antiquated. And that's silly and all that. Well, you can say what you want to say, but things were a lot different in those days. Where today, you just go down, every gas station's open on Sunday. Everything is open on Sunday. And it's just a lot of people say, well, a lot of people need to go to church. Well, sometimes they can't go because God's people are in there buying, selling stuff, and they can't. Because their boss says, we want the bottom line to be high, so you be here on Sunday to serve me. I mean, that's what's happening in our world today. I remember when I was a boy, I saw a remarkable thing happening just down the road from us. We lived on the bauxite cutoff, and just down the road from us, there was a little old grocery store. I can't think of the name of it now, but I was this little bitty boy, and I heard some yelling going on down there one Sunday, and I was at home, and I thought, man, what in the world is going on down there? And so I kind of got on my bicycle, and I bicycled down that way. And you know what I found out? They were down there playing ball. They were down there playing ball, playing baseball. Man, there's a great crowd there watching them. I'd never seen a sight like that in my life on Sunday. I'm telling you the truth. I'd never seen. So I said, you're just living back in the sticks. Thank God I was living back in the sticks. I don't mind at all. My mom and daddy found out I was down there, and they said, don't you dare go back down there on Sunday and watch a ball game. I said, okay. So I didn't. I mean, that's the way it was down there where I was from. And I'm glad that it was. But it seemed like today that as far as the Lord's Day is concerned, and I call this the Lord's Day, and I call it the day without apology. I believe it belongs to Him. It's like every other day. But especially today, ought to belong to the Lord. But you know, today, as time has gone on, it seemed like that God's people has desecrated this day more and more and more. And I don't want to worship a day. Boy, I hope you know me better than that. I don't want to worship a day, and I don't want to be legalist and all that stuff. I told a lot of people a lot of times, somebody says, well, would you buy gas on Sunday? I said, not if I can keep from it. Have you ever bought gas on Sunday? Yeah. I probably will again if something comes up and I need to. I will, but I tell you what I try to do. I try to make sure my tank has got enough gas in on Saturday to do Sunday. I try to do that. Say, well, there ain't no sense in that. The gas station's open. They're not going to close if you don't go. That's their problem. My problem is me going. See, that's just the way I look at it. You don't have to look at it that way. It's your business. You can do what you want to do. I mean, you can go against God if you want to. I shouldn't have said that because that's just being cruel. But I shouldn't have said that at all. But I believe it's the day of the week. It's a day of rest. It's a day of anticipation as to what we're going to have one of these days in glory. And like I say, I don't want to be a legalist. I don't want to make up a list of do's and don'ts. And that's why somebody said, well, would you ever eat at a restaurant on Sunday? I have. But I don't make a habit of it. I don't. Somebody says, well, why not? They're open anyway. They're not going to close if you don't go. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make happen. But I have. I've caught myself in situations where it was a good thing to do, and I was hungry, and I went in there and got something to eat. You say, well, don't you think you're breaking the law? No. No, I don't. Sure don't. If I thought I was, I wouldn't do it. It's just a good thing to do to keep the Lord's day and remember what the Lord done on that day. That's just a good thing to do. It really is. And we've lost so much of that. And it's just a shame that it is that way. But it is that way. The Lord's Day is a good day. You'll see here that the Lord's people on the first day of the week were gathered together to worship Him in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. They were there, gathered together to worship the Lord. They came together to break bread. They came together for the specific purpose of worshiping and remembering what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. When we ought to do that. I do believe this. Somebody says, well, all recreation's bad. Now, I didn't say that. Now, you people try to put you in a box all the time. I didn't say recreation's bad. Did I say that? Look here. This article even says this. Read what it says. It said that it is to be kept. Of course, I'm reading my article. I don't know if you have got yours open or not, but maybe if you don't have one, you ought to get one so you can follow along. But it says, and it's to be kept sacred to religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreations. Of course, the fact is, we ought to not be messing around with sinful recreation any day. We ought to do it, you see, but here's the thing, that especially on the Lord's Day, you ought to leave that stuff alone. You ought to leave it alone. See what? A lot of ball games played on Sunday, and people go listen to ball game. Go watch a ball game instead of going to church. And that, you know what's happening in schools all over this land Wednesday night? It's a big ball game night. You got to go. And what happened is that God's people will not stand. God's people will not stand. And there's where we are, just like that. So, we can talk about all those things. But I don't want to be a legalist in any of that. Don't want to be. Because if I get in a bind, I mean, here's the thing. We ought to prepare ourselves to do what God wants us to do on this day, but something could come up. Okay? Once when I was pastoring at Willow Hill, neighbor lady to us was a Nazarene lady. She believed that hospitals ought to close and that doctors should never do any kind of fixing on anybody on Sunday, and that if you got sick on Sunday, you would just wait. That's what she believed. So, and that was fine with me. It didn't bother me at all. I was glad. I mean, if that's what she wants to believe, I'm happy with it. But she told me once, and they had a wreck. She was driving her car, and she had a wreck on Sunday when she left church. And she was she wasn't around home. She was up north, and totaled the car out, and a couple of them unconscious. They called an ambulance to come get them. And she says, you know, when I saw that, and when I heard that siren coming, I thank my God that somebody was working on Sunday. And there is that. You know, so, and here's the thing, too. We can be so outlandish about some of this that we probably need to turn all the lights off on Sunday, because there's somebody at work keeping this electric going. You know, we can do that. I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. We can be so far out on some things. But also, I guess here's what I'm saying, is that we don't want to just compromise everything away. At the same time, we don't want to explain everything away. I mean, there's just a distinction here in the things that we need to do for the Lord, and we need to make sure that our minds and our hearts are dedicated unto the Lord on this, at least on this special day. I mean, tell you what, Sunday, this is a good day today. I enjoyed the day. Man, the lunch was great. I enjoyed preaching this morning. I enjoyed Sunday school, even though I did leave everything at home I should have brought. But I was glad. I left that video at home. Paul had to go get it. I'm glad, you know, that we were able to worship the Lord and be together on this day. Special day. I mean, it really is. You just can't hardly beat it. You just can't hardly beat it at all. But what we're doing today is a prerequisite to those things that's coming later. That's what we're talking about. That's a rest. It ought to be a rest unto us. Sunday is a rest. And every Sunday ought to be a time of getting away from things and not doing things that we would normally do in the week to make a living and all that kind of stuff. That's what that he's talking about. That's what it's all about right there in that place. Well, I got this on my mind. My notes, I'm just bloated all the way here. But I got this on my mind, so I want to say it right here. I guess it's a good place. A lot of churches today are not holding Sunday evening services because they're saying that families ought to be together. Of course, I think the main reason they're saying that is not because that they want to make it a family day. I think it's because they can't get people to come out Sunday nights, so they just cancel services. I think that's what's going on. And they're saying, well, being home with your family, well, that's where they are anyway. So they're this kind of thing. Go ahead. But the whole day ought to belong to the Lord. The morning and the afternoon and the night, it all ought to belong to the Lord. We ought to remember the Lord. We ought to do that all the time. I mean, we ought to do that every day, especially on this day. Another point here that I was kind of throwing in here that, I came across this totally by accident. I was preparing the Sunday school lessons for Sunday school and looking at the very last days of Christ and where He went on those very last days, and found out there that Christ at the very end of His ministry traveled from Bethany to Jerusalem like on Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. Every night He would go back to the house of Mary and Martha, and there He would stay the night. And I began, when I saw that, I thought, wait a minute, how far away is Bethany from Jerusalem? And I thought, that's too far. Well, that's further than a Sabbath day's journey. And I thought, whoa. Christ broke His law. And so I thought, boy, that's going to be something to look at. So, you know, it's about 3 miles. So He traveled 6 miles. I thought, wow, boy, I don't know what to do with that. So I started looking up that law. And I thought, what I do, I got these programs, you know, online Bible that I use. So I just typed in something like Sabbath day's journey. No such thing. I thought, oh, well, yeah, words. So I typed in like Sabbath and journey. That ought to get it, because that's a wild card. It picks up any verse that has Sabbath and journey in it. Couldn't find it. So I typed in journey. Found a lot of them. Typed in Sabbath. Found a lot of them. I couldn't find Sabbath day journey. Listen, I was raised believing that the Sabbath day journey was in the law of God that He gave to Moses. I just knew it was. I couldn't find it. So I know, well, there's something else they called it, something else. So with this online Bible, you can look up words and commentaries. So I just thought, I'll just figure that. I'll just check that out. I'll just type in that and look it up in Gills. Bang, came right up. I got it. So I went over and looked. And you know what Mr. Gill said about it? And I'm convinced it's so. He said, you will look in vain for a Sabbath day's journey that God gave to Israel or anybody else. And I thought, whoa, how about that? And so, going through that, I thought, well, how about that? He said, what happened was that the Jews derive that law. It's their law. It's not God's law. So I was relieved that Jesus didn't break the law. He wouldn't have anyway, would He? I mean, the Jews, they had a lot of laws about Sabbath day, didn't they? I mean, they had a ton of them. Why, you didn't want... And I was amazed when Jesus made His triumphant entry, and the Bible said that those people broke the boughs off the trees, that the Jews didn't get on to Him for that. They must have been really watching pretty close on that. But there's so much of things that are brought out that people say we ought to do that God didn't say we ought to do. And I don't want to get involved in a bunch of do's and don'ts and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to do that at all. What the whole point here about the Sabbath is that it ought to be a day that we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. Man, it ought to be a day that we can just worship the Lord and be together and serve Him. You know what? We need time. We need time away from the world. I mean, we need time away from the world. We need a refuge, and this is it. Well, I tell you what, it just can't get any better, you'd think. God has blessed our church, and I'm so thankful that He has. God has blessed me and let me be here. And I'm so thankful that He has. But we just want to remember what Jesus has done, because that takes care of everything else. Now, and I'll tell you this, I've said all this stuff about buying and selling, that kind of stuff. If you get sick, well, go to the doctor. My, don't even worry about it. You know, but if you're sick on Saturday, well, you might not get too sick on Saturday, right? It could be that on Saturday you'd just be this sick, but on Sunday you're a lot sicker. It happens, don't it? Don't worry about it. Don't sweat the small stuff. But remember what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. And remember what He has sacrificed and the debt that He paid for us. God will give us a blessing if we will forsake this world and put Him first. He will do that. Now let's look at some scriptures about all of this stuff. Let's look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. You know this passage well. We don't have to hardly turn there to read what it says. I think you know what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible said here in verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let's read back up a little bit about verse 21. It says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." I'm reading in Hebrews 10, 21. "Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Isn't that a good thing? That's good to do on Monday too, isn't it? I mean, that's good to do every day. Let us draw near, you see. Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." We can hold it fast because God is the one that's holding it. Verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Isn't that good? We ought to consider one another, and we ought to provoke each other to good works. We ought to do that. We ought to do that. He said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." You know, I've heard this verse a lot of times used to beat folks over the head that wasn't there about coming to church. Haven't you heard that? I've heard that lots of times. But the fact is that our job is to encourage one another to be here. I mean, that's the job. But you look at the reason for it all. You look at the whole reason for being in services. And it is not just to show up so somebody won't call you. When I was a boy at home, our Sunday school teacher, she says, I think it was Lady at the time. She said, "What I want to do is I want to get everybody involved and get everybody here. So anybody that missed, we kept a roll every Sunday. Anybody that missed, then somebody in the Sunday school class had to call them that week, see where they were." Well, yeah, it wasn't long until there wasn't any volunteers, and then there was appointees. We had to do it by appointment, but it just didn't work out very well. You can't force folks.
That's right.
You just can't do it. You can't even force yourself, can you? But if you want to, you can. See, and that's what he's saying here. We need to look at Jesus Christ. Let us draw near unto God and with a true heart and full assurance, because it's God that keeps us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See that? Let us consider one another. I'm reading there in verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's the whole issue, that we ought to love folks. And we ought to care about them so that they will do good works. I mean, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some. And there are some folks that's not going to come. There's some folks that won't come. There are some folks you can't hardly threaten them to come, but they're just not going to. But see, we ought to be right ourselves in all this thing. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's why we ought to come to the house of God, because we want to come. We're looking for the blessings of God. We're looking for them. We're expecting them when we get here. We're expecting God to bless. Did I say I'm expecting God to save souls? That's not what I said, but I'm expecting that. What I'm expecting is a blessing from God. We come to worship God. That's why we come together. It's to worship and adore Jesus Christ. We don't come. Somebody says, well, I come to church and nobody was saved. I should have stayed home. That's sad, isn't it? But when we come to church, we come to worship God. We come to be together. We come to worship Him, adore Him. I mean, He's a wonderful and a marvelous God. And we ought to come together just for that. But look here, in the book of Isaiah 58, this is the promise that God gave to Israel. And I believe it's a promise that God has given to us today. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And there's a lot of places here we could read. But here's what God said to Israel concerning the Sabbath day and how they ought to worship God. But remember that what Israel did was that they took a good thing that God had given and they made it a bad thing that man had given.
Amen.
And we don't want to do that at all. We don't want to do that at all. We want to worship God. That's what God wants out of us. In verse 13 of Isaiah 58, he says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Now, here's what we're supposed to be calling the Sabbath. So he says, stop doing what you want to do and get your want to fixed. See? And call the Sabbath a delight. Call it a delight. You call it that because you believe it is.
Amen.
You don't call it that to make it a delight, but you call it because you believe it is. Okay? Then you say, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's a promise God gave to Israel. He said that if you would seek my face on that day, if you seek him, boy, one day a week. Isn't it a shame, though, sometimes we can't leave off the world one day. We can't leave off our thing one day. Isn't it a shame? I tell you what, sometimes, talking to one of the ladies today afternoon, in the fellowship hall, and she said, what a blessing the fellowship hall is. And I said, yeah, boy, it is. And I said this, and I don't mean to demean what God has blessed us with in fellowship hall, though. I think it's the best thing since pocket on shirt. Boy, it's wonderful. But how much have we missed? And I don't mean to say anything, you know, that against the fellowship hall. I love it. I really do. But if we keep seeking our own face, then we're going to miss a lot more. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And how much has God got for us that we don't even know about? That's the thing. Coming together and calling the Lord today a delight and leaving off our things and let God do His own. Look also here in the book of Isaiah 56, just a couple chapters back. Isaiah 56, this whole chapter actually is about how God would bless Israel if they'd only keep the Sabbath day His way. And God knows people have to work. God knows all about that. But He also knows when we don't have to. And God knows He can supply for us more than we ever thought about. It's amazing to me when you think about it, how this nation was formed working 6 days a week. And now we can hardly get by on seven. You know, I was coming back from Illinois a while back. My wife and I come back from Illinois. I told you about this, I think, a long, long time ago. Stopped on 70. It was on Saturday afternoon. We stopped there at the rest area, just the last one before we get to Missouri. And I was going to get a cup of coffee. And I didn't have anything but $10 bill or something. That machine is going to give me 10 bucks worth of quarters. And I didn't care about having that many quarters. You'd walk along, you know, all one-sided. And so I said, well, I'm not going to put this $10 bill in there to get to all that mess of quarters. I don't want that. And so this truck driver, he says, what are you wanting? I said, I'm just wanting a cup of coffee, me and my wife. But I don't want to put, you got change for a $10 bill? He said, no, but I'll buy you coffee. And he did. I thought, boy, that's a great thing. That's great. Thank you, sir. You didn't have to do that. Thank you anyway. And he says, we talked a little bit about where he was going, that kind of stuff. Oh, I've got to go over here and I'm driving this truck and I got to be in so place tonight and tomorrow and unload and go get another load and go. So he had all that figured out. I said, you're going to do that on Sunday? And he said, yeah. I said, you know, that's the Lord's day. Are you not going to go to church? He said, no, I don't have time to go to church. I got too much other stuff to do. I said, you know, it's strange to me. And I told him this. That's strange to me. That our world, our United States of America grew strong, working 6 days a week and taking off on Sunday, and now we can't do it. And we're more poverty-stricken as far as we got a lot of stuff, but morals and everything else going down the tubes. I said, something's going on, don't you think? He says, we can't make it if we don't work 7 days a week. And I thought, okay. I just went on, thank you for the coffee. You know. But that's the way we are. That's the way we think. But God will give us so much more. Look here in the book of Isaiah 56 and verse 1. And notice that what God has said here. He said, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this. Blessed is the man and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, to keep his hand from doing any evil. That's talking about Sabbath, the Saturday or the worship day, the feast days for the Israelites. But for us, it's Sunday. Okay? I mean, that's what he's saying. The Lord will bless, he said. Then he said in verse 3, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the church, let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the son to the earth, what he's talking about, the eunuch said, God, if you just keep my Sabbath. That's what he's saying. Wasn't that important? I believe it is. I believe it is. We should schedule things for the Lord's day that belong to the Lord. Of course, there's emergencies. I'm not knocking any emergency. One comes up, we need to take care of it. But in verse 5 then he said, see verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves with the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. Thy burnt offerings and thy sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. And that's what it's supposed to be. And I'll just quit reading right there. It goes on and tells other things. God will bless those people that keep his day. They really will. They really will. I tell you what. Brother Archie talked about this morning, coming over up on 370, a bunch of kids in there playing soccer. Yeah, well, it's Sunday, so it's a good day. No work to do, right? So do my thing. That's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. It's a day to do his work. It's a day to worship him. We ought to take a day just to back off from this old world and to serve the Lord. Boy, it'll just be such a blessing. It'll be a real blessing. It really will. Look with me in the book of Mark chapter 2. Boy, there's so many places to look about this important subject, and I hope that I've not rambled around too much. Book of Mark, chapter 2, and verse 27. While we're thinking about the Sabbath, see, it's not a legalistic type of thing you've got to do or whatever. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. The Jews had made that list of do's and don'ts, and God broke them all. Jesus Christ broke all the Jews' laws, didn't he? He did. He broke them all, but he never broke one of his fathers. He never broke one of his fathers. And so it is for us. Men make laws. We ought just be careful to keep God's. God will bless us. He says in verse 27, 28 in Mark chapter 2, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Isn't that the truth? We need a day of rest. We need a day of rest. It's not another day to work. It's a day of rest. And it's anticipation of the rest that is to come. So therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And so it is. It's a day of great celebration. I could go into scriptures and read them to you where that the church always met on the first day of the week. But I think you know those anyway. But what I'd like to do here in closing is to show you this day of rest. What we do on Sunday is a day to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
It is a day to do just that. But it's a day of anticipation of rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Read with me verse 3 through verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. What we do today is resting. This old body needs to rest from the cares and labors and all that garbage that we got to put up with in the world. And all the work, really. There's a lot of good and honorable work that will be done was yesterday and will be done tomorrow. People going to their jobs and doing an honorable job. And that's all good, and that ought to be. But you know what? There's a day to get away from that. I believe for a long, long, long time that whenever I left my job, that I left that job and the thoughts about it at work. I just believe that for a long, long time. And I tried to do that. Of course, now I don't do it because that's my job full time. I mean, here I am. So I think about it about all the time. And I like it. I don't want it any other way. I just don't want it any other way. Well, when I worked at Farmer's Home, when I left there at 4:30, I didn't worry about that place. And if it burned down, it just burned down. It didn't make me too much difference. And by the way, you know, if they quit paying me, I was going to quit going. That's just the way it is. But now, what am I going to do if you quit paying me? I'm going to be here. And I'm going to preach to you. That's a threat. But I will be. Lord, call me here. That's what I'm supposed to be. And I'm glad that you pay me so I can do what God told me to do. I mean, I'm glad for it. I'm going to be here if I can at all. If I get sick, I'm going to be sick. I don't think I'll be sick anymore if you don't pay me than it will if you do. I don't think so. But here we got a day of rest. I'm talking about this rest that is to come. It's a good thing. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. He said, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Boy, isn't that good. I like resting. I like resting. Whoa, isn't that good? Pop up your feet, take off your shoes, man, and kick back. That's good. He says, "And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world, for he said in a certain day, place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works." That's what it says there about that. "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." That's the Jews. They didn't enter into rest. You know why? Because they wouldn't keep that Sabbath day of rest.
Amen.
See, what I'm talking about is that what we do today is just a prerequisite to that which is to come.
Amen.
You think about that. You think about that. So all said, "I won't do my thing." Then you're not going to have any rest. That's what he's saying. We need to rest on this day. In verse 6, then, let's see, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" I'm looking for that other day there. "There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." Boy, this is going to be a greater thing than we could ever imagine. We think it's good today. I enjoyed today. I enjoyed coming together. And Brother Cecil, Sister Mary gave her testimony today. Man, wasn't that, I tell you what, you think about that, and they've been saved from 1950 and 1951, still saved, serving the Lord God.
"There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." We had a good day today. Heard Cecil and Mary's testimony about when they were saved, and saved many years ago, and still saved, and still serving the Lord. It's just a good time. I think about the fellowship that we had at the meal. I think about watching the video about creation. I think about all those things and how great it is, how good it is just to be together and serve God. But what we have today is just a small, small token of what we will have in eternity when we're gathered together there with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing Him face to face and having no cares or troubles in this world, when our bodies do not get tired and when we can just continue on and on to worship God. Notice verse 10. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." And so it is true that when we enter into our rest, then we will cease from our own works. We will not be considering how we are going to do something. Rather, we're going to consider how God is going to do it in us. Verse 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." You might think as you read verse 11, let us labor, therefore, you might think, that sounds strange. How can I labor to enter into rest? And surely it is so today that there's a warfare that we fight, a warfare between the good and evil that's within us, a warfare between God and Satan that's within us, a warfare between the nature that we have, that's the nature of God and the nature of this flesh, this sinful flesh. Now we need to labor to enter into that rest. But remember this, folks, that today is a day that we serve the Lord, and we dedicate ourselves to Him in everything that we possibly have, and we give ourselves over to Him, and He will give us the rest that we deserve. But let us rest on the Sabbath day, the Lord's Sabbath on Sunday, that we might enter into that long rest.